Hello, and welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
1, 2, 3, 4.
Go!
Guys, you gotta stop. That's terrible.
You're rolling?
Yeah, you guys are rolling.
What? Yeah. Are we rolling?
Yeah, you guys are rolling.
Wait, the tape's rolling?
The tape is rolling!
Turning you. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Took a break, then gained them, took it to the south. Super bitch, you bring it back, don't need no spinach. 10 years and got it in without so much as a blemish. I ain't finished, your whole hood beat. And you're too weak. We got that shit to turn a full street to Wolf Creek. Get possessed with that Emily spirit. Had these bitches fucked up, losing more than they hearing. It get even worse, if any Manchester. You gon' come face to face with Winchesters. Bushmasters, Kempers, shit you ain't into. Can't get them in the hood.
Untouchable, Thursday night, 8 to midnight.
I'm gonna skip that
regular. Icy like winter weather. Nigga, I move that work, do that dirt for that cheddar. Got niggas on my kidding, that hustle for that kidding. $100,000 car, let me step up on that sedan. Ladies, they love me all across the world. I'm gangster, so I keep a gangster girl. Don't fuck around with the young and I don't play that shit. I run up on you with your whip and straight spray that shit. You got it confused, damaging bruised dudes. We shoot out in brawls, get around like Machiavelli should call. Keeps it rugged and raw, on the block with the raw. We go to war with the law, we stay banging the four. Brat, and them niggas stretch out on their back. It's a G thing, cold in the street thing. We do this for real. Fuck niggas, I don't care how they feel. Split feet, my ghetto past time is sealed. Oh nigga, I'm
untouchable,
pressure, you niggas can't do me nothing. You figure they stupid, bugging, get clapping the coop for frontin', slapped on the stoop or something. Back on my ruthless gunning and strap while your crew be running from every bullet. Up out of the Luger, bustin' and shot if the music bumpin'. Bitch, bounce with the movement, cousin. Quick. Out with the whack and with the news. See how the dude be strutting. A hot step. See how we do. See how my crew be rushing. Great dude, back of they head and heel of they boots. Block like we in the building and stack like a couple million. Act like you know the feeling. So crack just to feed my children. Black, I ain't with concealing the truth. Are you busy stealing the proof that I have the oil for the booth for the mass appealing? Facts that I documented with tracks that I'm monumented with class that I own a godly level like an army destined to kill. It's my profession and chill as a small suggestion. For real, I can never stop, so you probably would need to pay.
You want to be my lover? You want to be my man? I am a flower and I hurt your hands. Don't say you love me, don't say you care. I'm not human, you're
there, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon me, I was listening to the Lying Me to Bastard show. I'm Jake. That is there. Was, who was that? That was Emily Simon doing Never Fall in Love. weird little, I don't know what to call that, weird little indie dancey thing. For that, we had Busta Rhymes with Rod Digga and Spliff Star doing Untouchable. We started off with Coach Whips doing I Don't Need You. With Coach Whips album's there. I really like that band. They're really sort of this noisy, you know, garage rock. And if you paid attention to that song, that they were like, they're so loose in their playing that they they like almost lost it during the song, where they start playing the then somebody tells them, I don't know if it's another band, one of the band members, or if it's the producer, tells them, you gotta stop, this is terrible. And then, but the tape was still rolling, so they just kept going and then knocked the song out in one take after that. But I've been playing one of their songs on the show for a while now, called Hands On. And I first heard it, and I thought, that song is great. And I went and I tried to find the album that it was on, got the album, and the song that was on the album sounded nothing like it. Nothing like the track that I had. Much slower, much less noisy. And so just today, I finally tracked down the album that had the version I liked, and it's a whole album of like those sort of raw-sounding demos of the song, so I'm very pleased. I'll probably play another Coach Whip song for you later. But on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about Michael Moore. He has another film coming out. I'm not a big fan of Michael Moore, but there is a weird political intrigue going on for his movies. We'll talk about that. Talk a little bit about reruns of immigration arguments. I'm talking to folks lately, and I'm hearing the same sort of uninformed, not entirely racist, but sort of ignorant, confused arguments against immigration and against the protests for immigrants' rights in the United States. Talk a little bit about Iraq and the congressional proposals to do something about Iraq. I'm really confused about what's going on. I will probably have to educate myself while the music is playing to get back to y'all about to explain what's going on. Then a little bit maybe about satellite radio, how in a way satellite radio are the biggest pirate broadcasters of all. A little bit about violence in the Middle East and the way it gets reported in the United States. Scholar Juan Cole had an interesting thing on his blog today about the he called it decoding the violence, and he was taking a look at the actual reports of what was going on, you know, acts of terrorism and violence in Iraq, and what that actually meant. Something that American media usually does not do. And I'm going to talk a little bit about food. Found this great article by Michael Pollan, the author of the Omnivore's Dilemma, which is out of the bookstores right now. Very good fellow. Talks just sort of really common sense stuff about food and the way it's grown and the way it's prepared and the way that we eat it and how all that shit's fucked up. But relating to that, I will also be playing some of the comedy stylings of Patton Oswalt. This first track I'll play momentarily has a lot to do about America and food. And music-wise, I've stumbled across this folder on my iPod that is pretty much all of the singles that I've played in the past, like, 2 years. Maybe year and a half. Bands that, like, I really liked this one particular song, but did not... But, you know, like, when I researched the rest of the band's stuff, I didn't find that their whole catalog was that great. You know, they weren't bands that put out great albums. They were bands that put out great singles. So I now have this, like, 200-300 songs that I'm looking directly at and leaning on heavily to play on the show today. What else have I got new for you today? Probably going to play a little John Legend, maybe some Peel, maybe some Dog Day. And there's one song I'm really torn on. Okay, if I mention this, I'm going to have to play it. Okay, yeah. I have a cover song of Bill Cosby singing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It's not a good song, and it's not even all that interesting, to tell you the truth. But I've mentioned it, so now you're going to be curious, so I will have to play it so as to not be a jackass. But did I mention what the show is? This is a Lying Media Bastard show. I'm Jake. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to start off Patton Oswalt, American comedian, little short, doughy, gnomish man. Very funny. I believe he played some of his tracks on the show before. But so this is he apparently is releasing an album in July called Werewolves and Lollipops. And fortunately or unfortunately for him, it's already available on the internet. You can hear it. And I was going to play some tracks for y'all because they're funny. Some of them are political. Some of them are just sort of nerdy media things, which I think y'all will like. But I do feel slightly bad because this isn't like, you know, I've got the new Nine Inch Nails album early and I'm playing it, which I did, but did not play those songs for you because I thought they were crap. You know, Patton Oswalt is like one guy. He's a comedian, and I'm going to be playing tracks off his album months before it comes out. So I for one of the first times, I actually feel slightly guilty about playing new stuff on the show. So here's what I'm thinking. The album is like 22 comedy tracks. I'll be playing three. And if you like it, y'all could go out and buy the album when it comes out. Or I would say if you don't want to buy it so that I feel less guilty, I think y'all should tell at least one friend. Say, hey, I heard this great comedian the other day, Patton Oswalt. He's good. And then maybe your friend will buy the album. So that way I'm helping promote the career of Patton Oswalt. This isn't some sort of like street team stuff. This is actually, I do feel kind of bad that I'm going to play this stuff for you. It's not going to stop me. I shall still play these things. But, yeah. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lang Media Bastard Show. If you're listening live, get on your AOL Instant Messenger. Send a message to Radioactive SD. And I will get it. And why Radioactive SD? Because that is this internet radio station, audio collective podcasting thing that we are. Radioactive San Diego. RadioactiveRadio.org. And, yes, let's get a little Patton Oswalt in here. I'm going to stop the track partway through to explain to some of you who live in other countries that he's making a very American reference here. So I will stop at a certain point. And this track, it starts off weird. He's going somewhere, I promise you. But when I first heard it, I was like, what the fuck? Is this like a skit? Am I supposed to know what's happening? No. It'll start going. I will stop and explain something partway through. And then we will all have a grand old time. I'm Jake, Lime Media Bastard. Thanks for listening.
I'm so hungry. What's good to eat here at the Kentucky Fried Chicken, man? What do you have on the menu that's good? Oh, our mashed potatoes are awesome. All right, I'll say that right now. And, our corn is really sweet and crunchy. That's really great. And, we have these little, like, popcorn chicken things. They're kind of breaded. I like those. And, if you get the mashed potatoes, you got to get the gravy. The gravy is so tangy. It's really good. Okay, stop right there. Can you pile all of those items into a single bowl? Just kind of make them into a wet mound of starch that I can eat with a spoon like I'm a death row prisoner on suicide watch. Can I just have that instead?
Okay, now here's where I stop it. Those of you in other countries, or those of you who, my many friends who are animal rights activists who probably do not eat much of Kentucky Fried Chicken, this is actually a meal item in Kentucky Fried Chicken now, where they take mashed potatoes and corn and chicken and gravy, and although he doesn't mention it, and shredded cheese, and put it into a bowl. So they call it the famous, they're called famous bowls or something like that, so it's a pretty much anything, you know, all the stuff they have at Kentucky Fried Chicken, throw it in a bowl. And if you don't know that, then the rest of this comedy skit doesn't really work. But there you go.
Yes, we can do that. We can also arrange those on a plate like you're an adult with dignity and self-respect. You don't have to actually eat your food out of a single bowl. Fuck that, I'm done. I don't give a shit. Just pile all those things in a bowl. Is there a way that the bowl can play This Mortal Coil's It'll End in Tears album while I'm eating it at 2 in the morning in my darkened apartment, just kind of staring into the middle distance? KFC's famous bowls, that's their top-selling item. Can't keep them up. America has spoken. Pile my food in a fucking bowl. I don't give a shit. I'll have it all in one fucking... I just want kind of a light brown hillock of glop. If you could put my lunch in a blender and liquefy it and then put it into a caulking gun and inject it right into my femoral artery, even better. But until you invent a lunch gun, I would like a failure pile in a sadness bowl. That is what I want. Give me, pile my food. America, eating my lunch from a single bowl in my parents' basement where I'm living. Happy birthday, I'm 43. That's how I want my lunch. I don't want to waste those precious calories chewing. Somebody move my jaw for me. Jesus, come work my jaw and help my sloppy pile of food go down.
Song we used to play. Can we reignite the flame? 'Cause things just ain't the same. We could talk about the baby. We could talk until we're crazy. We could focus on it now, or we could focus on it later. We could start another fight. We could argue and fuss all night. But I propose that we go to the flow. And talking shit ain't really none of my business. Let's go and play the songs we used to play on that old school radio. Let the music soothe your soul. Forget about the world. Woo. Woo. Yeah. Yeah. Say, I love it.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. That was the Ghost Mice doing Up the Punks. Before that, we had John Legend doing Slow Jance, Swing Kids doing El Camino Car Crash, and Patton Oswalt doing America Has Spoken. And yeah, that America Has Spoken. It was about the Kentucky Fried Chicken and the food they serve there, which. Honestly, now would be a good time for me to launch into my my talk about food, but I'm not prepared for that at the moment. So you're going to get other stuff. First, let us chat about Senor Michael Moore, filmmaker, as you know. Pretty much a documentary filmmaker. I do know that his Fahrenheit 9/11 movie was... I don't even know what it was. I thought that was a very sloppy film. And if you think about it, it seemed to me that it was all basically trying to say, look how close the Bush family is with the Saudi family. And then 9/11 happened. You make the call. It's like, are you really? What are you trying to say? And I don't feel like the movie said much anything except, you know, incompetent fuck-ups and corruption, which is all true, of course. And then his movie Bowling for Columbine was actually also misleading. It tried to make the case that the United States and Canada have the same sort of gun laws, and the fact that so many more people are killed by guns in the U.S. is because of our gun culture, love of violence, whatever. But really, in Canada, while they're, I believe it, the freedom they have to own guns is mostly about hunting rifles. Now, it's hard to, in the heat of passion, pull a hunting rifle out of your pants and shoot somebody, whereas doing so with a handgun, the kind that you can have in the U.S. and have more trouble getting in Canada, maybe that has something to do with it, but somehow that didn't come up in the film. Anyhow, he has a new movie coming out called Sicko, about the American health insurance and health care system, which I think part of it will be similar to a segment he had. Some of you might remember when Michael Moore had a TV show. First he had one called TV Nation, then he had another one called The Awful Truth. On The Awful Truth, they actually had a segment where they did as though it was a sporting event. They had a contest to see whether doctors... They had three people with similar injuries, sent one to Canada, one to U.S., one to Cuba, to hospitals in each of these three countries, and then graded them on how well they performed in healing the patient. I guess there will be a segment like that in the Sicko movie, where they send ailing 9/11 rescue workers to Cuba. And that is where Michael Moore is now getting in trouble. The Treasury Department is investigating him, claiming that he did not have permission. I've never understood why this is, but if you want to go to Cuba, for some reason the U.S. Treasury Department has to give you the okay. It doesn't make any sense to me why the Treasury Department is in charge of whether or not you can visit Cuba. But they are. And given the highly logical and useful and effective embargo of Cuba that the U.S. has had for the past 580 years, I don't even know where I'm going with that. But yeah, basically, it's looking as though Michael Moore did not get permission. Well, we don't know yet. He is getting investigated because somebody suspects that he did not have permission. Now, I don't even understand. This is just a stupid idea, because this is going to get more publicity for Michael Moore's film. Honestly, that almost sounds more likely to me, that there's some liberal in the Treasury Department who's all, dude, if we investigate Michael Moore to get a lot of free publicity for his movie, and people will see it, and then there'll be changes to our healthcare policy. Let's do that. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. Now, Iraq, very confusing situation right now. Apparently, a majority of Iraqi lawmakers have endorsed a draft bill calling for a timetable for the withdrawal of foreign troops and demanding a freeze in the number already in the country. The U.S. president does not want timetables, says that will hurt the Iraqi people. The Iraqi parliament is saying set a timetable. And then I've heard things today about, one, I've heard about a new military funding bill that would only fund the military through July and force Bush to come back again in July to ask for more money. I have heard that there is going to be some sort of compromise version of the existing bill, which will take out the timetables and replace them with benchmarks for the Iraqi government. And I've heard that there was going to be a vote, a straight up or down vote, yes or no, should we take the troops out of Iraq? So I'm confused as to what's actually going on in the Congress right now with regard to the Iraq spending and war and such. I did read one nice piece by our pal Matt Taibbi. He's writing about the Democrats in Congress and pointing out that, you know, this is just so ridiculous. Nobody wants this war. There should be a vote to withdraw the troops. And it won't happen, as I mentioned last week, because of the cowardly politicians and the idiot media. Because if you're voting to get the troops withdrawn from Iraq, then your political opponent will then immediately bash you as some sort of terrorist, you know, traitorous bastard, and the media will replay that because they like conflict, and because of that, these people will not stand up and will not do what we want them to do, or perhaps they wouldn't have done it anyway, and they're just bastards. But in Taibbi's article, he talks about what I keep talking about lately in the oil laws in Iraq. Here we go. During the Saddam years, the Iraqi government racked up massive debts as Hussein stole outright much of the country's oil revenues and built himself elaborate palaces packed with gold leafing and Balinese whores and whatever else assholes of that ilk used to furnish their garish pink mansions. Upon occupying the country, the United States agreed to forgive some of that debt in exchange for its acceptance of a standard International Monetary Fund program, which among other things included an end to consumer price controls on food and fuel, a move that, whatever one's feelings about government price controls may be, inarguably made it more difficult for a newly impoverished, war-torn population to afford to eat. Another condition was the liberalization of the economy and the opening up of the oil industry to foreign interests. To recap, Saddam Hussein rips off the Iraqi people, America liberates said people from Saddam, then bludgeons them with Saddam's debts until they hand over the keys to the oil industry. Nice deal, yes? So, in his article, Tybee is actually basically, he's pretty much saying that, you know, no matter what the Democrats are doing at the slow rate of, you know, maybe possibly trying to get the troops out of Iraq, that they are complicit in the imperialist theft of Iraq's oil. So he does propose a solution down towards the bottom that says that the Iraqi people should go ahead and sign whatever deals the U.S. puts in front of them and then just ignore them. You know, tear those deals up once the U.S. finally leaves the country. Now I'm hearing also there's a lot of bitching now about the Iraqi government. Why is the Iraqi government doing more to blah, blah, blah? We've got the Iraqi government should be standing up, and we've got these benchmarks for them to fulfill, and you know, there isn't really an Iraqi government. They don't have much power. They don't have much money. Their military and police are thoroughly infiltrated by militias. The country's in a civil war. What exactly are we expecting the Iraqi government to do? They don't have the power. They don't have the authority. They don't have the resources to make the country into what we want it to be. So we'll yell at them more. How dare you, you ungrateful Iraqis who we occupy and steal from? How dare you not continue to follow our commands? So, there's some joy for you. Let's see. Well, I guess I'll play some more music and come back to some more talking later. Make sure I got all my stuff up. Now, I did mention earlier... Well, okay, I'm going to do two things. First of all, this will be a follow-up to something that none of you remember. Months ago, I did a show, and I made a joke about the gas face. Gas face was a not extremely popular slang term from 1980s hip-hop, I believe started, or at least popularized, by a white rap group called Third Base. Gas face was a term for... sort of insult or disrespect or whatever, and it was sort of it generally phrased as, you know, who gets the gas face, who deserves the gas face, you know, Jim Bob gets the gas face, and you know that's, you know, you're disrespecting them for being sucky, and I've played some Third Base songs in the past, some stuff by some of their members, but I actually did find their song, I did find their gas face song on my library has gotten a 12-volume CD set. Tommy Boy Presents Hip Hop Essentials, 1979 to 1991. 12 CDs, most of them with songs that are censored, which is really sad. I don't understand. Somebody doesn't seem to understand that hip-hop has a lot of swearing and you should just leave it there, because otherwise it's like, you know, saying that you got a Star Wars movie and you got to cut out all the laser blasts, sir. Wow, that was the worst analogy, lamest, nerdiest analogy ever. I'm going to go lie down in a hole. But anyway, I got my Third Base doing gas face. Interestingly, in the second verse, MC Search actually has a thing that's against... you know, he's a white MC who starts talking about the negative stereotypes and perceptions. The broader cultural perceptions of what is good and what is bad and how they're racialized. And basically condemns white people for creating these things, these beauty standards and these standards of... good and evil being affiliated with colors, which is interesting. And then after that, I will play, as I mentioned earlier in the show, about my Bill Cosby doing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which is weird. But anyhow, let's go a little Third Base first, and then we'll go on to the Cosby. Go on to the Cos. I'm Jake, Lime Media Bastards. Here we go.
Newkirk, man. Step to him.
Thanks, Serge. And now for the Prime Minister.
Third Basel Express, KMD, three blind mics on site. Zev Lover gave it the first light. A grin shows a trick up a sleeve. What a tangled web they weave. Deceive is stupefied through fable. Say let's make a deal at the dinner table. Put you on tour, put your record on wax.
Trust me!
Sign your life on the X. You exit XOR, but what you really get? A box of Newports and Puma sweat. Text feeds and frowns upon Emis. To give a gas face and drinks from a thermos. Sub Rock could at you with a clipper. Gas face giving, I beg to differ.
Pete, that was real tough, man, but I gotta get serious now. Hey, yo, Don, step to him again.
Everybody, MC Search.
Black cat is bad luck. Bad guys with black. Must have been a white guy who started all that.
Make the gas face.
But those little white lies. My expression to the mountainous blue eyes. Dip for my face and shake my skull cap. Dismiss the myth that evil is not black but opposite spectrum. This done by red man with horns on his head. Lay down the ill plan, got all his helpers. Said make it snappy. Tell all the people that their hair can't be nappy. Blonde and blue eyed, a dark skinned heifer G. A disease created by leprosy. Don't speak of bleach, bend them to right. Say it was night, way before the light. Put aside spooks. The setup correct with the effect of the gas face. Next up, Don.
A special appearance by KMD's Zev Love X.
A gas face can either be a smile or a smirk. When a pair's a monkey wrench to work, one's clockwork. Kirk is gripped to the rim of my cup. Don't tempt me, you're empty. So fill her up as I'm talking. Coffee or cocoa, is you logo? Cash or credit for unleaded, that's a no-go. KMD and third base. In the hole, I mean soul. So make the gas face. Damn it, looks can kill. You look like your host was a ghost from the grill. But still, what's the new fan to recollect to our passing phase? The back days to 80 Decker for my label reads good. Stream I have a tattoo, no pick any card or no rabbit from my hat. Never a magician if I ever trick them.
Oh shit.
Another gas face victim.
There it is, yo, fellas, man. Why don't you step to the mic, man? Hey, yo, good looking out, Don, man. Peace. Punji. Yo, who gets the gas face? No gas face for KMD.
Hammer,
shut the fuck up. Gas face, what do we think about Hammer? Get your posse does not get the gas face. But PW Bunter gets the gas face.
Children.
We're Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Sit back.
Boys.
Sergeant Pepper Lonely, Sergeant Pepper Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
Gonna sing a song.
is the one.
geekiness is getting in the way of my nerdiness, I'm starting to notice as I grow older. I had this really sad realization. I was thinking the other day about a time machine. If I had a time machine, you know, because I'm really into history, like, would I go back and witness something, like, find out who Jack the Ripper was, or stop the Kennedy assassination? And the first thing I thought of doing, if I actually had a time machine, is I would go back to around 1993 or 94 and kill George Lucas with a shovel. That was the first thing that came to my mind. And stop him from making the prequels. That's how I would try to save history. Fucking pathetic. I mean, I don't even know how I would have reacted if I just run into him on the street, like going, "Oh my God, you're fucking George Lucas, dude." Look, I don't want to bother you and nerd out, but like, Star Wars is one of my favorite movies, and I just want to thank you, man. Just thanks for all that. It's so great. Ah, you like Star Wars? I got some good news. I'm working on the three prequels, the first three chapters. Oh, really? You're going to do the... Finally! Oh my God, that's awesome, dude. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Well, hey, you say you're a Star Wars fan. Do you like Darth Vader? I fucking love Darth Vader, dude. The helmet and the cape with the sword. That's great, man. Is he in the first movie? Yeah, in the first movie, you get to see him as a little kid. Is he like a little Damien Omen kid, like evil and killing people with his mind and shit like that? No, he's just like this little kid, and then he gets taken away from his mom, and he's very sad. I don't really care about him as a little kid at all. At all. At all. I just like the helmet and the sword and the cape. That was kind of cool about him. Well, hey, don't worry, because guess who shows up in the second movie? Boba Fett. There you fucking... Boba Fett, yes! With the helmet and he's a bounty hunter. That is awesome, man. That is so cool. Yeah, and in the second movie, you get to see him as a little kid. Again, I don't really care about him when he was a little kid. I like the chip and the helmet and the killing people. Is he like it? Does he have the little helmet on and he's killing people? Is that what's going on? No, he's like this little kid and then his dad dies and he's very sad. Do not give a shit at all about that. Could not care less. Well, don't worry, because in the third movie, you know what shows up? The Death Star. Awesome, man. That fucking... Wait a minute. What is it doing, George? Well, you just see it at the very end of the movie. It's being built, and Darth Vader's just kind of looking at it. Again, I don't care how they built it, how they put in the toilets or the air conditioning. I just like it when it's done, and then it's blowing planets up. That's kind of what's cool about it. You look really sad. Dude, I gotta say, I'm pretty fucking sad, man. That sounds awful. That all just sounds like shit. Would you like some ice cream? I would, yeah, I would like some ice cream. I like ice cream, man. That'd be cool if I had like a dish of ice cream. Well, here's a big bag of rock salt. You just said I was going to have a dish of ice cream. Well, when you combine the rock salt with ice and cream and sugar and flavoring, it becomes... I don't give a shit where the stuff I love comes from. I just love the stuff I love. Hey, do you like Angelina Jolie? Does she give you a big boner? Well, here's John Voight's ball sack. That's right. The pink, glistening ball sack she swam out of. Now jerk off to that, you lucky so-and-so. I was amazed when the Democrats won the House and Senate. I was shocked and amazed. I was truly shocked. Because all my friends said, they said, you know what, the Republicans, they fucked up. They lied about the war. They protected that child molester. They've been tapping our phones. Fuck it, they're going to get their asses kicked. And I was honestly going, I don't know. I at this point, Bush and Cheney have turned into the Dukes of Hazzard. Like, every week, they get themselves in these crazy predicaments where you're like, well, ain't no way the Duke boys are getting out of that one. And they fucking jump the General Lee over the Bill of Rights, and it's fucking insane. It's fucking insane every week. I mean, if the standard for impeachment is covering up a burglary or getting a blowjob, if that equals you're impeached, then shouldn't Bush have been executed at this point? Like, honestly, if that is, I'm just saying, if that's your standard, he should have been just beaten to death on the lawn of the White House with, like, Aerosmith playing and be like, yeah, fuck that guy, woo! Big monster truck rally and everyone drunk, yeah, fucking asshole. But nope, every week, just, they should just show him and Cheney walking through the Rose Garden and then freeze frame it and have Waylon Jennings come on and go, now can you believe these two guys covered up a child molester for 5 years? Ain't no way they getting out of this bucket of syrup. Squip it down and bam. Can you believe these two draft dodgers sent men and women to die in the desert on a complete fucking lie? They ain't no way they gonna get out of this pickle.
Hey there, ladies, gentlemen, and ladies. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. That just there was a couple tracks from Patton Oswalt, El Comedian. Those were fun. I gotta love a good Dukes of Hazzard joke. And then, so him talking about the Dukes of Hazzard and him making jokes about the Star Wars movies. That's a good time. For that, we had the Peel doing Moxie Blues, Scout Niblet doing Dinosaur Egg, Dog Day doing Lydia, Franz Ferdinand doing Take Me Out, Bill Cosby doing Sergeant Pepper, start off with Third Base doing the Gas Face. Let's see what I must speak of. A little bit of a weird media thing here. XM is a satellite radio company. Recently they tried to merge with another satellite radio, the only other satellite radio company, really, Sirius Satellite Radio. And in the wake of this, there's been a little bit of, a few things have popped up, one of which is that both of these stations have what they call repeater stations, which are, basically, it's like you have antennas to pick up your signal and rebroadcast that signal so it goes further than your original transmission. XM has about 800 of these repeater stations around the country. And it now turns out that about a third of those repeater stations do not have the permission of the FCC to exist or operate. So a third of 800 is what? It's like 240, 230, something like that. And also that's, let's see. So it's about a third of their repeater stations, covering about 42% of their total area, are totally illegal. Don't have the FCC permission to run those things. Here we go. Sirius also has this problem. Let me see. Okay, I guess Sirius, well, the head of Sirius told Congress that about that 11 of their 138 repeater stations were illegal. So that'd be more like 10%. But rather amazing that these two satellite radio companies are actually the biggest radio pirates possibly of all time. They don't seem to be running into any trouble with it. And now they want to merge. And... yeah, and on top of that, it's kind of interesting that the frequencies they broadcast at are it's not like your regular, you know, 90.7 or 106.9 or 96.9 or something like that. I think these frequencies are so much higher that they're closer to cell phone frequencies, and that's kind of interesting that, you know, if they made some mistakes there, I suppose. The XM repeater stations, if their frequency varied enough, they could actually get in there to be messing up cell phone communication. which is what they're always accusing pirate broadcasters of. Oh, you're going to mess up other stations. Your frequency is going to mess up the emergency radio network and stuff. So that's interesting. A little bump in the road, perhaps, for the effort for the merger of XM and Sirius. Now, I want to talk a little bit about food. That's a topic. Food and food politics, as you might call it, have been increasingly an interest of mine. A book I read last year, A Diet for a Dead Planet, actually convinced me that food cannot be grown for profit. That is actually, it just can't work. You know, saying there, or that there's so many negative, okay, I'll rephrase it. There's so many negative implications to the growing of food for profit, at least on the scale that we're at today, causes serious problems. And you see this in a lot of industries, of course. You know, people can argue about, you know, free trade. Okay, free trade's the wrong term. You know, people can argue about free enterprise. Should there be, you know, the market distributes blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I suppose maybe you could use a market to distribute goods and whatnot. But in most of the cases I've looked at in detail, the market fucks things up. Because you've got, for example, medicine being a big one. The fact that people need, there's all sorts of medicines people need to just outright survive. And you turn that over into the world of big business, and nobody is interested in making these cheap generic drugs that keep people alive. They're interested in the big expensive drugs that rich people need for comfort. You know, for example, the things like Viagra or the drugs that that, you know, help people who are, you know, overweight or have high cholesterol or whatever. Those are the drugs that get made in research. And on top of that, people don't look for the next big drug like that. They usually try to figure out ways to simply maintain the copyright on their old ones or make knockoffs of somebody else's drugs. So it's totally dysfunctional. Using the profit model for medicine. Food is similar, because people go out there and they start growing food, growing crops, and when enough, and it's good to have an abundance of food, and when people grow enough food, suddenly the prices go through the floor because there's such a big supply, and the people who grow the food are going bankrupt. That makes no sense. And then it's even worse with U.S. agricultural policy, which is for certain crops, companies and the farmers, who are mostly big corporations at this point, make huge amounts of money off of these subsidies. It's in their interest to grow as much as possible of you know. I believe this article I'm referring to says that the five crops that get the most money are rice, corn, soy, cotton, and... Oh, I'm missing one. Rice, cotton, corn, soy, and wheat. Those are the five commodities that get the huge subsidies from the U.S. government. And therefore, these companies that grow these products grow as much as possible, which, of course, depresses the prices everywhere in other parts of the world because there's such an abundance of supply. And on top of that, because of the subsidies they get, they can turn around and sell these things for cheaper than it costs to make. You know, send, you know, their extra wheat to, you know, Bangladesh or something, and sell it at a price that's lower than the price in Bangladesh. People buy the cheap wheat and the domestic wheat. Those farmers go out of business, and now the American wheat's the only game in town. And the people who were working in the wheat industry, the wheat farms in Bangladesh, if indeed there are any, those folks lose their jobs. Which makes them ripe for exploitation by sweatshops some years down the road, etc. So American agricultural subsidies are a direct cause of the destruction of agriculture in other countries, the unemployment, farm workers in those countries, and the rise of poverty in those countries, and the rise of sweatshops in those countries. When you hear of things like the Farm Bill, which is apparently coming up for a vote in the U.S. soon, huge, huge international implications of things that sound so incredibly fucking boring. The other interesting thing that I hadn't given much thought to is that these crops that get the huge subsidies, that's why we see them so much in the products that we buy, the foods that we eat. You know, as long as you're not, you know, just outright buying, you know, a carrot or something. If you're buying processed food, a lot of these products show up. I mean, that's probably why corn syrup is used as a sweetener so frequently, Because you get big subsidies on corn, you don't get big subsidies on sugar, at least not as far as my limited knowledge of U.S. agriculture. But, and actually, I went and I wrote about this on my site. I did a little research, just went to the cabinet in my kitchen and looked up, just grabbed four products off the shelf to look at the ingredients to see if they actually had these subsidized ingredients, the wheat, corn, soy, and rice. So I got a box of Ritz crackers, and of course it had all sorts of ingredients, but looking up at the ingredients, it did include wheat flour, you know, flour made from wheat, soybean oil made from soy, high fructose toast corn syrup made from corn, soy lecithin, I think it's some sort of thickening agent, obviously made from soy, wheat germ from the wheat. If those subsidies weren't there, it's interesting, what would they have used instead? Maybe I wouldn't have had that mixture of ingredients. Ketchup had, among other things, high fructose corn syrup and regular corn syrup. Can of chili had soy flour in it, I was surprised to see. And a box of Hamburger Helper had wheat flour, corn starch, corn protein, soybean oil, soy sauce, and corn syrup. So, this article I'm referring to, written by Michael Pollan of The Omnivore's Dilemma, he points out that the subsidized crops are not the ones that are the most healthy for us. These are ones, you know, like, he's saying, you know, carrots and broccoli and things like that, those aren't getting the huge subsidies. And imagine what difference that might make in what our grocery stores were like, what our diets were like, if healthier foods actually received these large subsidies. Obviously, at that point, the agribusiness would be... they'd have incentive to be growing these other things instead. But of course, it's possible that at the same time they would still try to make the same sort of high starch, high sugar, high salt foods that we're used to. But they would, you know, again, who would have thought that you could make a sweetener out of corn? Who would have said, we're going to get oil out of soybeans? You know, for all I know, if they switched over, we'd still have your sweetened chili and ketchup and Ritz crackers, but they'd have, you know, like maybe some sort of sugar or syrup made of broccoli or carrots or something. So, but no, I think that's very interesting stuff. And I mentioned a number of the books about it on my site, Food Politics, Fast Food Nation, Movie Super Size Me, Die for a Dead Planet, Omnivore's Dilemma, and a few others by some of those same authors, Marion Nestle. Ironically, her last name is spelled like Nestle, like the candy bar, but she has a number of books on the topic. She comes from a nutritionist point of view, but it is useful and interesting, and you should take a look. I also want to talk about, this is an article by Juan Cole, the Middle Eastern scholar from the Midwest. He called it Decoding Iraq Violence. And he says here, he's got an article, he starts it off, violence in Iraq at first seems episodic and hard to decipher. It doesn't take much speculation, however, to see patterns. So that's what we're talking about here. Normally you turn on the news, and there's a lot of parts of the world where you just hear about violence. You know, 10 people today were killed in Nigeria. And, you know, and you don't know anything about Nigeria because our schools didn't teach us and our media doesn't teach us. And it just sort of gives this impression of international chaos and violence, or... because we never hear about the reasoning behind the violence, it sounds irrational. It makes us think these people are emotional and irrational and violent. People from all over the world, except us Americans. Although, of course, I guess we get plenty of reporting about Americans doing crazy violence too. But more often, we'll have, you know, somebody kill somebody else, and we'll say, you know, it was a domestic disturbance or there'll be long stories about trying to figure out how or why this happened. How could this happen here? The Virginia Tech shooter, what drove him to this? We must know. He was crazy. But anyhow, he says, for example, in Iraq, in Kurdistan, there was a bombing on Wednesday in Erbil, killed at least 12, wounded 40. The strike was likely the work of Sunni Arab guerrillas, along with perhaps some Kurdish Salafi jihadis. They were probably replying to the deployment of several thousand Kurdish Peshmerga troops in Baghdad as part of the surge. Peshmerga have been fighting Sunni Arab guerrillas on behalf of the Americans and the Shiite governments of Nouri al-Maliki. The bombing may also have been related to the competition for the oil city of Kirkuk, which the Kurds intend to claim as for their provincial confederacy. So we get a news report, 12 dead in Erbil, Kurdistan, bombing. But he's saying that, you know, with this surge of troops in Iraq, part of it was to send Kurdish troops into Baghdad, where they would fight against the Sunni insurgents. So Juan Cole is saying perhaps that this bombing in Kurdistan was in retaliation for Kurdish troops fighting Sunnis in Baghdad. He talks about another attack here, a truck bombing in the market of Kufa on Tuesday. A minibus driver guided his vehicle into the midst of a market and detonated the payload, killed 16, wounded 70. Why? Because this small city neighboring Najaf is a stronghold of young Shiite nationalist cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. The bombing took place not far from the mosque where Sadr and his father preached. Two possibilities. A strike by Sunni Arab guerrillas at the heart of one of Muqtada's major constituencies, with the message being, "Hey, Mahdi Army militiamen, what are you going to do now? Where are you now that the American troops are wiping the mat with the militiamen? Come out and fight like men." Or, what's the other option? Some people suspect the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution in Iraq for the bombing. As a possible factional fighting between the Shia. And that could have been attacked by the Badr Corps, who are... they're not affiliated with Muqtada al-Sadr. Maybe they were attacking Muqtada al-Sadr's constituents, the Mahdi Army. So basically, and you know, and I saw this a lot also in reporting of Israel and Palestine violence. You'll see a headline that says, you know, Palestinians kill 7, or something like that, and then you know, and it just looks like an isolated incident. Gosh, why did those Palestinians kill those Israelis? But if you dig around, you'll see that the Palestinians claim that this attack was in retaliation for Israelis shooting rockets into some neighborhood. And if you do some more digging, you see the Israelis claiming, "Oh, well, we shot those rockets because of this bombing that went on here." You look at the Palestinians and they say, "Oh, well, we did that bombing because the Israelis shot these civilians over in this city." And there's barking dogs outside. Anyhow, but so it's sort of, it's just kind of, it's ridiculous that we get this sort of disjointed news coverage where it's, you know, there's a violent thing that happens, but it's expressed with almost no context or understanding. And it just, what good does that do, really? You know, you say, "Oh, a bomb went off in Germany." Okay, so what does that tell me? But you know, and I think it helps. Again, I think it helps sort of American nationalism in a way, because it's showing these random violent attacks on other parts of the world, and nobody bothers to explain them, so it just seems like chaos. It seems like those people have violent natures. Those people. Those Palestinians, those Iraqis, those Middle Easterners, those Africans. And, the lack of understanding makes it sound as though there's no reason for the actions that other people do, whereas we Americans, we do things for a reason. We are smart, wise, civilized people. And, I don't buy into that, obviously. Anyhow, I'm Jake, going to play some more music. Going to say hello to these dogs that are wriggling around and barking outside. And this next song is a fellow named Clips. I'm doing Field. I think I'm playing the right song. If this is the track I think it is. It was really had a nice remix. It was a nice remix of the song. And now that I think about it, I don't know for sure if that's true. But we'll hear it. I'm Jake, Lime Media Bastards, Muzak.
You know we back, right? Clear the streets out. Come on with it.
I know. Yep. Yeah, you too. Okay, we get it. Yep. Yeah, you too. I know. Yep. Yeah, you too. Yeah, you too. Okay,
everybody.
2 years like I was paddy wagon cruising.
Bourbon streets was yours, your dunce capping and kazooing. I would just assume you keep the coke moving, but I got one question. What the fuck y'all been doing? Pyrex stirs turned into Cavalli furs. The full length cat when I wave the kitty purrs. All my niggas caked up, selling gray and beige dust. Had that money right, I'll end up in the trunk taped up. We don't chase a duck, we only race for bucks. Peel money rolls till our thumbs get the paper cuts. Chill retardo, South Beach Gallardo. Teal started up, go burr like the snarl. Women, if you love me, please let me know. Tie rags around your neck and learn the sex we grow. These are the days of our lives, and I'm sorry to the fans, but them crackers won't play in bed. Yeah, I know, yep, yeah, you too. Okay, we get it, yep, yeah, you too. I know, yep, yeah, you too. Okay, everybody meet me. Everybody needs to wanna know the time, better clock us. Niggas bite the style from the shoes to the watches. We cloud hoppers, tailor suits like we mobsters. Break down keys in the dimes and sell them like gobstoppers. Who gon' stop us? Not a goddamn one of ya. Mean with the re-up, nigga, we street tumblers. Ivory white, yeah, that's the same color of a sword, nigga. Best believe it's the Mulliner. Take no prisoners. Rap niggas are whisperers. Choke on your own spit just as soon as you mention us. Champagne corks is kicked by Louis Sportson. Keep my hoes in Pooch and Charles Jordan. Copic chrome and touchscreen component. Mink on the floor, make your high dome it. You don't wanna know what the fuck I spent on it. Tomorrow ain't promised, so we live for the moment. I know, yep, yeah, you too. Okay, we get it. Yeah, you too. Okay, everybody meet me. I know, yep, yeah, you too. Okay, we get it, yep, yeah, you too. I know, yep, yeah, you too. Okay, everybody meet Mr. Me Too. Mr. Me Too. Mr. Me Too. Mr. Me Too.
Faster, hands on controls. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Controls now. But it's hail song.
Bastards radio show. That is, there was Gnarls Barkley doing Just a Thought. Before that, the Coach Whips doing Hands On and Clips doing Fields. Some wacky remix of it. Thanks all for listening. I'll try to get a show in next week, although I don't think it'll be on a Thursday. I think it'll probably be on a Wednesday or a Friday. But yeah, and then always go to my site, linemediabastards.com. I'm trying to get a little bit more writing in on the site. And y'all can read it. Thanks. I'll see you soon.